Just to summarize the yisod that we said last time, we spoke about pulchon hadibur and pulchon hashtika. Pulchon hadibur means the avoda of speech, and pulchon hashtika is the avoda of silence. And we pointed out that it's not just a question of speech and silence. We spoke about the fact that human beings have two modes. Mode number one is that a human being is active. We're able to be acting upon the world. But he pointed out that in order to be active, we first have to be passive. In order to be able to influence and to impact properly, we first have to be influenced ourselves. And he pointed out the mashal of the moon. The moon provides a tremendous amount of light, but in order for it to give up light, it first has to receive light from the sun itself. So in order to be a ma'or, in order to be a giver of light, it first would have to be a kli, to receive it. And in order for a person to be able to influence through speech, a person has to first master the pelech, the avoda of silence. Anyone who tries to act upon someone or something else, before first being acted upon, that the acting that he's going to be doing is going to be destructive. So first, the person has to master oneself, and only then he can master the world outside of him and influence that world in a proper way. The mashal I think we mentioned in the name of the Chofetz Chaim is that he said that I wanted to go out and perfect the world, and I realized that was not the way. And the way to properly impact the world, said the Chofetz Chaim, is like a cup. When you pour into the cup, it spills over, and whatever comes out, that's really the hashpa that's supposed to happen. Tell your Rabosai, as I give shiurim, there's a major difference that I feel of the shiur that I'm giving right now versus the shiur I used to give when I was in Grus. And the major difference is the way that the shiur in Grus worked was the following. I used to give a shiur on Sunday at 10 o'clock. It used to be the Dar Shraga shiur I used to give. So Monday morning, I asked myself, what am I going to speak about in another week? Now, I didn't have any worries, I didn't have to give 50 million shiurim. I had just had to learn. So I asked myself, what is it that I want to speak about that both is something that I feel very profoundly about, that I really like to work on that week, and at the same time, something that the guys would be able to connect to as well. And usually by Monday afternoon, I figured out what I wanted to talk about. And for the whole week, for a few hours, I would work on that sugya. I would try to gather marmakomos. I would try to read the marmakomos, reread marmakomos. I would make that topic my avoda l'maisa for that week. And I'd work and I'd work and I'd work. What would happen that Sunday night is that it wasn't just a lecture. It wasn't just marmakomos. It wasn't just ideas. It was mamish coming b'tfnim of what I felt so passionately about and what I connected to. I'll tell you a really incredible story. I was so misfiled from the story. The story about Rav Ilya Lupian, who's a great Baal Buster. And he had a Talmud who wanted to record his shmuzim because his shmuzim were so just incredible. But Rav Ilya Lupian was a little bit suspicious of technology. You know, it wasn't like this. It wasn't accepted yet to record shiurim. So what happened was that apparently this Talmud did some favor with Rav Ilya Lupian felt a little indebted to him, and this Talmud already asked a few times Rav Ilya whether he could record the Shmuzin, and Rav Ilya always said no, but he felt a little bit indebted and said to the Talmud, bring your mashinka, bring your little machine, but I don't want to see it. Now you have to understand, just, you know, 30, 40 years ago, it wasn't like this. It was a recorder like this, with a huge cord, and a microphone like that. So what he did was the Talmud put the actual recorder in one room. He ran a wire, which he kind of hid under like some baggage or something, and the actual microphone was hid under the sfarim on the bima. That's what he did. So Rav Ilya gave a shmooze, and the next day Rav Ilya invited the Talmud and said, "I want to listen to the shmooze." So the Talmud brought the recorder, turned it on, and the shmooze started happening. And Rav Ilya closed his eyes, and he's listening. And he said, "Oh, he says well. And when there's a pause, Rav Ilya says, "Why is he stopping? Keep going." And this Talmud doesn't get it. What? This is you. So the Shmuz finishes the tape, whatever the tape finishes, and Rav Elia said, in a million years, I'd never be able to get that Shmuz. What's Pshat? The Pshat was, you know how he did his Shmuzin? He would sit and learn Musa for an hour and a half, Be'iyun. What I mean Be'iyun, I mean Be'iyun, with his whole Mahmuz. He sat and learned Musa. And then he basically entered a trance, and he said over Shmuz. What's Pshat in that? The Pshat in that, he was so seeped deep into him. The Musa he was saying was not an academic exercise. It wasn't just, you know, he worked some idea out. It was mamish mitoch tocho of his Mahmuz. It's the way Rav Lichtenstein once, I asked Lichtenstein, which Sefer Machshava should I teach? So he said, he asked the same question to Rav Hudner. Which Sefer Machshava should he teach? So Rav Hudner said the following. You should teach a Sefer where you cannot tell where the Sefer ends and the Rebbe begins. Meaning that the Rebbe has to so much incorporate the Sefer where the guys see the living Sefer. I think I told you the story before. There was a Rebbe in the yeshiva where I learned. He looked like a big Nebuch. He looked like a big Nebuch. He dressed like a Nebuch. He looked like a Nebuch. I mentioned this before, I think. I think maybe in the previous year. He looked like Gilligan. He had the Gilligan hat and the Gilligan shirt. He was Gilligan. And he lived in the yeshiva. I mean, how sad is that, right? He didn't have a home to go to. And he always learned with the lowest of Talmidim. Like the guys who didn't know anything, that's what he would learn with. So I thought, in my head, I kind of thought that, you know, every yeshiva has some Nebuch who can't make it in life. So he kind of stuck around, and they gave him some odd jobs to do. So I went to learn in a different yeshiva, and I had a chavrusa who one Thursday morning, he said, I'm sorry, I have to end early because I'm going to have to go to a shir. I said, who's shir? He said, this rabbi. I said, what can he teach? He says, what do you mean? He's a massive Talmud Chacham. He wrote a Sefer in Hilchos Avodim on the Rambam. He is a huge Baal Machshava, you should know, he said. Rav Tzvi Kook called him the walking Mesilas Yesharim. The walking Mesilas Yesharim. So I found out this person had a huge Talmud Chacham, and a tzaddik shenka, when I got to know him a little bit more as the time went on, I got to know his family, he has a very, very large family. The person is such a tzaddik, he was such a nister, you couldn't even tell. And what does it mean he's a walking Mesilas Yesharim? What it means is that when you want to see theory turn into practice, you want to see what Mesilas Yesharim can do to a person, like really can do to a person, you look at this person. So if a person wants to incorporate, a person wants to influence, he has to first incorporate. If a person is an actor, he can act Mesilas Yesharim in a beautiful way, he can read a script, his ability to influence is very limited. Hadvarim, hayotzim in halev, impossibility. When something is so deeply felt, so deeply experienced, it has the power to pierce other people's hearts. When it's something superficial and it's not real, it's not really incorporated, it's very shallow and its impact is very limited. First thing that we have to do is fix ourselves, improve ourselves, gain clarity ourselves, and only then we're able to impact others. That's what we said last time. I'd like to develop this yisod a little bit further. I'd like to speak about this avodah of silence. Rabosai, I have to tell you something. What I have to say is very difficult. Because our mode is not this. Our mode is not this. Our mode is not to be silent. If you're sitting next to a person, you know, you're sitting during lunch or whatever else you're doing, or sitting in an empty room, silence is uncomfortable. Because we live in a culture where people have to talk. You know, on radio, chas v'shalom should be a second of silence. On TV, chas v'shalom. We live in a world that has taught us to not to listen. Never to listen, certainly to never to hear, because we live in a world of barrage of information. And as Chazal point out, and this idea that he found in Bali Musar, a kli that's empty can be filled, a kli that's full cannot be filled. And in order again for us to be mashpia, we first have to fill our kli with something that's appropriate, with content that's appropriate. Rav Avram ben Arambam, in his incredible Sefer, HaMaspik Lo BeHashem, such an incredible, such a beautiful Sefer, one of Rabbi David's favorite songs, such an incredible Sefer. He writes, you know, there's Madregos that he has, and Sosha has Madregos one, Zirus, Zirus. Rav ben Arambam also has Madregos. And the ultimate Madrega, says Rav Avram ben Arambam, is that of his bodhidus. His bodhidus means, so what's a good word for his bodhidus? Is being alone. Lehit boded is to be alone. Says the Rambam, I don't mean just his bodhidus in the sense of being alone away from people. That's not the point. That's a means to an end of reaching his bodhidus of the mind, where you're able to clear all the noise and focus on what's really important. Remember what I said last Chavura? The Piyasetan Rebbe said there are two types of darkness. There's a darkness that blocks out Ruchnias, and there's a darkness that blocks out Gashmias to allow you to focus on the Ruchnias. And he says so beautifully, during Siddash Lishis, when a person hopefully has had such a powerful Shabbos, there are two darknesses that are fighting it. Which one is going to win? Is it the Choshek that hides Gashmias, or the Choshek that hides Ruchnias? There's a struggle. Says Rav Avraham ben Rambam, the highest madriga that a person can reach is to be alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be able to, at least for a little bit of time, to push away things that are secondary and focus on that which is really, really important. The moment of inner silence is the greatest madriga that a Jew can reach. It's interesting that Chazal tell us that during Kabbalah's HaTorah at Har Sinai, the world stood silent. Not a bird flew by, there was not a sound. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Anochi, there has to be silence. No one else is thinking. No one else is talking. There's total silence. Nothing else exists. It's a certain focus on what is really important. I think I mentioned this before. There's a strange bracha that we give during the Chasana. We tell the Chosan Nakala that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mesameach them like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesameach Adam Lechav and Gan Eden. So what is that? What's the point? So I heard a beautiful idea in the Nim Chofetz Chaim. Nim Chofetz Chaim. He said, when Adam was looking at Chava, you better believe he was not thinking about his ex-girlfriend. Because he had none. And he wasn't looking at the bridesmaid. He was looking at the girls in the audience. And when Chava was looking at Adam, she wasn't remembering her ex either. Because there was no one else. Adam had never known another woman in his life. He was not thinking about other women. He was not dreaming about other women. He wasn't wondering about other women. And Chava was never thinking about another man. They were there. Can you imagine that beautiful moment? There was no noise. There was no regret. There was no sfeikas. She wasn't thinking, maybe I can find better. No, she wasn't going to find better, and he wasn't going to find better. This is a shidduch made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, probably the only time, like really, really by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamush. There was nothing else. Can you imagine such an incredible moment that for that second, there are these two people, there was nothing else made any sound. Rabosei, I just want to remind you an incredible thing. You know, in the psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, it's not good for people to be by themselves. It's time for you to find your shidduch. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows all the animals to Adam HaRishon. And then it says that Adam HaRishon couldn't find a wife for himself from the animals. Oh, what a strange thing to say. Okay, he'd find a horse, he'd find a goat. What is the progression of the psukim? Adam HaRishon needs a shidduch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him all the animals, and Adam HaRishon says, Taka, I can't find myself a wife. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, now I'm going to put you to sleep and give you a wife. What's the story? The story is, and this is so important, and there's so many nafkaminas. And the pshat over here is that Adam HaRishon had to appreciate that he was all alone. He saw horses, husband, wife, goat, husband, wife, and he saw parents. He realized he was all alone. Can you imagine the existential loneliness? There's no one here for me. When he realized how lacking he was, how much he needed a partner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now you're ready to get married. Because if I were just to give you something that you don't appreciate, you wouldn't appreciate her. But once you know what it means to be all alone in the universe, all alone, now I'm ready to give you Chava. And the moment that the two united, it was a moment that nothing else existed, only the two. That moment of inner silence, the moment of such absolute focus on what's really important, and the blocking out of everything that is not, That is the peak of human existence. You know, Eliyahu HaNavi, he runs away. He hides in the mountain. Comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Eliyahu and says, I'm going to tell you something. I would like to reveal myself to you. Incredible gilui. And how is this going to happen? First, you're going to hear explosion, fire everywhere. That's not me. You won't find me in the fire. And then you hear winds, and you hear sounds and noises. That's not where I am. But then you're going to hear a very fine, called dmama v'daka, a very, very subtle sound, and that's where I am. HaKadosh Baruch is found in those subtle sounds. And if a person doesn't listen very carefully, it's gone, and the person misses it. Think about it for a second, for Kriya Shema, right? Kriya Shema, and we close our eyes. Why do we close our eyes? The answer is you block out the physical, so you can focus on the spiritual. Yom Kippur, Rabosa, why do we, what's the whole story? You know, we don't engage in anything physical. The answer is, when you block out the physical, it becomes spiritual. So Chazal tells us that on Yom Kippur, a Jew has an ability to become like a malach. He sheds that which disturbs him, that which distracts him. He's able to listen. And the duality that I mentioned to you about first listening, first being makabel, and only then to give is in Shabbos as well. Shabbos in the evening represents the bechina where we pay attention, we listen, we're kelim. And during the day, it represents the bechina of an ability to be mashpia kedusha further. At night, we're makabelim. And during the day, it represents the bechina for us to be mashpia. Now, Chazal tell us that Rome, if you were to try to define it as one thing, you know how Chazal defined Rome? They defined Rome as a place of noise. It's a very loud place. Chazal says figuratively that it's so loud that really the sun when it moves, it makes noise, tell us Chazal. The noise of Rome is so great that it drowns out the sound of the sun. They speak figuratively. That it's such a loud place. Now, I didn't quite appreciate it until I came to New York for the first time. And I walked through the streets of like midtown Manhattan. And you kind of feel, because I never really experienced it before, that the place swallows you up. And you feel that you almost cease to exist because of all the stuff that's going on. This noise is coming from everywhere. All these people walking and looking like zombies, you know, especially like during right before the rush hour. And everyone has got that empty look, and you're just like a little piece of a machine. And Rome is a place of noise. And it's interesting, I don't know if you quite appreciate this before, especially Bizman Hazeh. It's such a place of noise because a person is never given any space. Person is never given any space or time to think. Rav the Netziv says, you know, in the Haggadah we say, Lachatzeinu. What's Lachatzeinu? The pressure. The Egyptians put pressure on us. So, says the Haggadah, what's Lachatzeinu? So it says, Dchat, right? So I don't know what that is either. Says the Netziv, the Egyptians didn't want us to think. So they put us into these tight quarters where we couldn't move. And when you're around so many people, like people are talking and people are pushing, you can't think, you can't focus on anything. So we live in a world that never leaves us alone. I met a friend of mine and we started talking. So he says, you know, I have such a great week. My boss gave me a gift. Ooh, what's the gift? He gave me a laptop computer as a gift. I said, what did he give it to you for? He said, so I could work at home. What kind of gift is that? So you are his Eved, and now you are his bigger Eved. Now not only you have to work from 9 to 5, they have to take the work home. What kind of gift is that? But it's a world, the world that we live in constantly tries to reach out and insert itself into your life. It's like power, you know, just keep them working. Don't let them think at all. Don't let them contemplate what's the point of life. So the world gives us these gifts that constantly interfere and don't let us think. Think about it for a second. Get a phone call, right, on your cell phone. You're doing something important. So in order to not listen to the person, what button do you have to press? Mm-hmm. What about not just mute? What you want to ignore, reject? You have been rejected. You have been ignored. Oh, I feel so bad. I don't reject this guy. He's my friend. I certainly don't want to ignore him. The message over here is Rabosa, is that if someone calls you and you don't pick it up, you're rejecting and ignoring. Now, who wants to be rejecting and ignoring? Nobody wants to be a bad guy, right? What that means is that you're in the middle of a conversation. I've seen this so often. Middle of a very important conversation. Husband, wife, two friends are having a conversation. There's something important going on. The cell phone goes off. I'm sorry. I have to stop now. And I have to pick up the phone. Because I certainly wouldn't want to ignore anyone or certainly reject anyone. And certainly this is the problem with other people. And then the person's dominating. Oh, my phone rings. Oh, shoot. I'm going to have to ignore someone. I can't do that. I'm going to have to leave in the middle and pick it up. Why? And what happens, I will say, don't see this as some anti-technology thing. It's not a question of anti-technology. I'll tell you something. The Boston Rebbe came to speak here on Yom Yerushalayim a number of years ago. And he said, the Chazal tell us, in order to be called a Torah, you have to make yourself like a desert. And he said, you have to make yourself like a desert, like a midbar. And he said, one of the qualities of a midbar, if you're hiked in a desert, it's so quiet. Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. If you love to hike and you love nature, and you hear such silence. Again, it could be that silence is so jarring to us because we're so not used to it. We're so we need noise to in order to feel alive. But desert is silence. Said the Boston Rebbe, he was here and spoke to Torah Chaga. He said, in order to become a Torah, there has to be silence. And unfortunately, said the Boston Rebbe, today, with things like cell phones, there's no silence. And I saw the guys in the back already talking. It's one of those Haredi anti-technology rabbis. He just, he doesn't understand. This was not against cell phones. That was not the point. It was not against having technology in order to communicate. It was against this whole existence where a person can never find a moment of silence. Can never be alone with his own thoughts, with his own feelings. And you know what that happens? It allows you to escape ever facing yourself. Said that Rav Tversky said an incredible thing. He said, how come, I'm sitting in a room, I'm not doing anything. I get really uncomfortable. I need to be doing something. I need to be maybe listening to some music. Maybe I need to be reading a book. Do you know why? There could be more than one reason. But bottom line is, if I'm in a room with somebody I don't like, I get really uncomfortable. And I just want to get out. Rabosai, we're really uncomfortable with ourselves for all kinds of different reasons. We don't like ourselves. We don't quite figure out what we're supposed to be doing with ourselves, and we have an easy way out. We zone out. Put on headphones. We don't have to think about anything. It reminds me of, anyone read Brave New World? Great book. Brave New World. When people get a little bit, they start thinking a little bit, get a little bit agitated, they send out this drug, I think called Soma or something, right? It's this vapor, and the moment someone's just thinking, they smell it, and they're back in La La Land. We live in constant La La Land. We never face the most important questions in life, the questions that really make us human, because we're in a state of constant noise. That's the world that we live in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly mashpi on us. Rav Kook, I quoted Rav Kook a few times already, that the greatest hashgacha in the world is to ensure that every person, if he chooses to do so, obviously a person doesn't have to, doesn't if you choose not to, but that every person should discover Avodas, that their personal Avodas Hashem. Everyone always worries, what happens if I don't find my chelik Avodas Hashem? There's nothing to worry about. The problem is not finding it. The problem is choosing to find it. The moment that a person chooses to find their chelik, they find their chelik. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpi on us. It's like a radio station. Sending out waves. It's all there. Most beautiful music in the world. You have a radio with a broken antenna, where you don't put the antenna in the right direction. We still have antennas, right? Holy dated, Rabbi Lubartsky. Come on. But imagine back in, 7 centuries ago when they used to have antennas. If you have a radio that's not working, you can have the most beautiful music in the world passing right by you. Rebels, right now, there's music passing by us. There's radio waves, it's passing right by. You see, it's coming right through us. But since we have no clue to capture it and listen to it, we hear absolutely nothing. We have to make ourselves clean. Rabosai, if anyone has ever done this, they know it's such an incredible existence to be able to silence oneself and listen, to really, really listen to what's going on around us, besides the beautiful music of Rav Avraham Willig. We can certainly appreciate that, but there's things that are so deep we just stop and face ourselves, and we face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's so profound. But we have to create that silence. If we don't create that silence, it's totally impossible. You know, Chazal have an interesting rule, which is Halacha L'maaseh, Trei Kol L'Mishtam. When you hear two sounds, you can't make them out. It's not that you can't hear them, of course you can hear two sounds, but you can't distinguish, and therefore you cannot appreciate both of them together. So therefore, unless we can silence one and focus on the other, we're not going to be able to understand the incredible power of the sounds that are being emitted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's, we spoke about the two different modes, the silent mode of Kabbalah and the speech and Ashpah, and we spoke about the fact that true Gilui, the true revelation that happens on an individual level, and then at the Klali level, is in the moment of silence. When I'm talking, I can't be listening. You know, it's an incredible thing. I spend a lot of my day listening, I will say. A lot of my day listening. And if it's an incredible thing, and I listen in all kinds of different ways. It's the Mechanic you have to listen. You listen to guys read Gemara. If you don't listen carefully, they're going to make mistakes. You're not going to catch. And I speak to people with all kinds of different issues. If I'm not able to silence my own mind, I'm not able to hear what they're saying. By the way, Rabbi said, this is so chashuv. And this is, you know, there was once a person, I think he came to the Chofetz Chaim, and he said, I want to open up a gemach. I want to open up a charity organization. What should I make a gemach in? You know, the money gemach, you open up a Yerushalayim, under gemach you have hundreds of pages of diaper gemachs, there's a chold gemach. Your Rav Shash has a chold gemach. If your chold accidentally burns on Shabbos, you could like run over to someone's house and you can get chold. Incredible. There's a bris pillow gemach. It's a gemach for anything in the world. So this person wants to open up a gemach. What gemach should I open up? I think it was the Chofetz Chaim, sure, he said you should open up an ear gemach. What's an ear gemach? Gemach, you should listen to people. Because he said there's not enough gemachs like that. To be able to clear mind of all of the noise and all of the prejudices and all of your own agendas and to listen to what the other person says, Rabosai, ask yourself honestly, how many times in your life have you done that? You know, most of the time our listening is, hi, how you doing? Good, Baruch Hashem. Good. And someone is talking, we're not listening. We're barely interested. Or we're just waiting for our turn to speak. I tell you, one day you try this. It's a little crazy, but one day, take one day, and you're going to say, today I'm going to listen. And when a person speaks to me, I'm really going to listen. Again, you don't have to be like really weird about it, like when someone talks to you, you don't say, I'm really listening to you today. Don't have to be weird about it, but to really, really shut off your mind and this desire to influence someone else and just try to listen is such an incredible thing. By the way, you should know that those things. Listening is tangible. I don't know if you ever experienced this, that someone listened to you so profoundly, you push to feel how the person is listening to you. There's something we can't even describe, that we feel sometimes we completely zoomed in and we've connected. I don't know if you've experienced that before. If you have an ochava, you know, it's so incredible. Someone just really is listening to you. It's so powerful. You're able to be impacted and impact others in such an incredible way. In order to influence, you have to be influenced first. Now, so how do we achieve this? How are we able to reach this inner silence? So just speak about just one or two or three different inyanim just to think about. Hisbodedus. We spoke about it. There's a hisbodedus of the mind, you know, being alone of the mind. But hisbodedus of the mind is often help with the hisbodedus of the body. Rabosai, and I'll tell you something. This building used to lend itself to tremendous hisbodedus. I used to love this whole neighborhood. Now, the way that this floor used to look like, there used to be no offices. There used to be one huge room with kimat, no one ever coming up here. I used to take 30, 40 minute walks just around, just in this room, just thinking, just trying to figure things out. all the, this whole street over here, like this, you know, big and all this stuff, used to not exist. Used to be the whole thing was vineyards. This is before my time. So I know people who still go over there for hours. Just there's no one around. There's a park over here. Do you know about Gazelle Park? I don't even know about Gazelle Park. And there's like a park where there are a few gazelles, right? You know the bridge that connects Gilad Mordechai to Beit Vegan? You know that bridge?
Yeah.
Do you know there's like a park over there?
Yeah.
Do you know that gazelles? You know, like there's like little deer there? I used to go over there all the time. I used to go over there. Just to, it's weird. It doesn't look like there's a park. It looks very, very urban. But it's like a little park over there. And just to sit and just to be away from everything and to think. It's very powerful. It's weird at first because we're not used to it. Again, we're used to all the time with noise. We don't know what to do at first. But physical hisbodedus, to think, creates silence of the mind. It takes kind of a while to get there, but it's so incredibly powerful. Yeah, it's easier for me to appreciate because I'm from Russia. In Russia, we didn't have video games. We had three channels. One was communist propaganda, second was communist propaganda, the third was see the first two channels, you know. So it's not that TV was not all that exciting for us. So we spent a tremendous amount of time playing outside with all kinds of creative instruments. So I have an appreciation for nature and being alone. So I understand it's a little bit harder, you know, plucking away Nintendo. I used to pluck away Nintendo also. I was just gay for hours and hours and hours. Not a great Facebook. But to a little bit create a physical, I don't want to use the word isolation because isolation has a certain negative connotation, but just to be alone with yourself. And by the way, what that actually teaches us to do, once we learn how to create that silence, even if we're in a room of people, we know how to create the silence as well. That's a master. The master of the Pulchan Hashtika is a person who can create silence in the craziest of times. Let me tell you a story I read. This is a Mayuridika story. I'm so inspired every time I think about this story. So there was Rav Shwadron, who was the famous Magen in Yerushalayim. And he had a kasha in the Rambam. So he and his son-in-law went to the Brisker Rav to ask him the shayla. So he asked the shayla, they asked a question in the Rambam. And the Brisker Rav said to his son-in-law, he says, tell them how we figured this shayla out, and then tell what the answer is. So he said, let me tell you, we were running away from the Nazis. So we were, there was like a convoy of horse and buggy with all their stuff, just walking on the road. All of a sudden, we hear a German plane fly by. And then another. And all of a sudden, bomb exploded. And another bomb. And another bomb. And another bomb. And the situation turns into absolute chaos. The horses are jumping, and things are being turned over. People are running away. Total chaos. And says the son-in-law of the Brisker Rav, I was standing next to my father-in-law. And all of a sudden, out of this incredible tumult, out of this absolute insanity, he yelled out, I figured out the Rambam. I figured out the Rambam. I think there's a Chazon Ish somewhere. He says, I'm sitting on the ruins of the city. Yesterday, the fire destroyed the whole city. I'm sitting on the ruins, and I'm writing to my Chidush Torah. It's everything around you burns, but you're able to create this inner world that's totally calm. I asked my father once, and this is such a chashuva thing. I asked my father, I said, I don't understand that. You know, you live in Soviet Union, you're frozen. All these people are spies. You can be arrested at any point. You can be sent to prison. You have no idea who are your friends and who are your enemies. How did you stay sane, Bechlau? He said, I'll tell you the trick. There's one trick to it. You have to create a safe place in your mind, a place that no one can penetrate, and say, here I'm safe. In my house, I'm safe. Outside, you never know who's going to hit you below the belt. But at least in your mind, in your Dalai Lama, you have to create a place of safety and a place of silence. It's an incredible koach, it's an incredible mastery of self to be able to create silence wherever you are. But the first step of that is to create a physical silence, and at least in a physical silence, to create some kind of a mental silence, which is very difficult. But nevertheless, it's a major evolution. That's number one. Number two, once we're able to create that silence, Rabosai, you can hear such beautiful things, such amazing things. Again, it's very difficult for me to explain this because it's so experiential. When a person is able to silence other things, then we're able to hear messages that we're sent by Kodesh Baruch Hu, profound messages about ourselves, about the world. It's an incredible thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu constantly sends us messages. We have to learn how to hear them. We have to be able to catch them and appreciate them. It's such an incredible thing. Now, I'll tell you, the question of Hashgacha, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu, how does he interact with the world, is a philosophical question. It certainly is. To me personally, again, I'm interested in Machlokes, the Rambam, the Rambam, all these things are very important vis-a-vis Derech HaLimud. But when I open my eyes in for a little bit, if I can shut out the noise from the outside a little bit, Hashgacha is so clear, so clear. I'll tell you, you should do something. I did this incredible thing. I made a list of different things that have happened in my life. I said, from the beginning until, you know, for years and years, it took me a long time, I wrote a list and I realized, wow, think about all kinds of things that have happened. It was exactly like this, and it was exactly like that. Hashgacha is so clear, so passionate. These messages that Kodesh Baruch Hu sends, remember I said to Rav Kook, the Hashgacha on Avodas Hashem and Shleimus HaAdam is the greatest Hashgacha in the world. We just have to listen, we have to hear, we have to just make that silence. You know, someone gave me an Eitzah once. It's a very, very nice Eitzah. Every day, to sit down for just 5 minutes and just, again, just to silence oneself and ask oneself, what did I gain today? Now, I had a Talmud who went to see a certain Rav and spent Shabbos with the Rav. And at the end of the Shabbos, the Rav asked him the following question, such a Gemalic question. He said, what did you learn in the Shabbos? And he never thought about it. He didn't think that you had to learn something from a Shabbos. But such an incredible point. What did I learn in the Shabbos? And then at the end of the day, try this for a week. Ask yourself, what did I learn today? I don't mean just a Katsonos or a Tosfos. What did I learn about the life today? And you know what's going to probably happen? You're going to say nothing. You know why nothing? Because you didn't pay attention. So the next day, you'll pay attention. And you learn. Can you imagine every single day, you learn something? Do you know how incredible that is? Do you know there are people who go for 30 years without learning anything? I don't mean technicalities. I don't mean how to use a computer program. I don't mean, by the way, Lahavda, I don't even mean a piece of Gemara. I mean, like, really ideas about Avodas Hashem, about one's own self. Rabbi Sol Salanter says it's easier to learn all of Shas than to fix one Midah. And Rabbi Sol added that some people live with themselves for 7 years, they don't know anything about themselves. How is that possible? So there has to be this listening of the messages. And in order for that to happen, we reach point three. So we spoke about physical hezbodedus, just being by oneself just a little bit. Second thing, paying attention to the message being sent to us. And finally, in order for any of that to happen, Rabosai, it has to be humility. Because you see, humility is also related to shtika. Because what is shtika? Shtika means I'm silent. I want to be makabel. And that's exactly what humility is. Right? The Chazal tell us that the Torah is like water because it always goes to the lowest level. When a person makes himself low, the Torah comes down to it. And I'll tell you something. I was an idiot when I was 18. And what nekuda I was in, one of my biggest mistakes in the world, I was thinking, 18, 19, 20, I can't wait to be a Rebbe. How good it will be to a Rebbe. I'll give a shiur, and I'll tell guys what to do, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Last summer, I spent Shabbos with my Rebbe, and I said to myself, so good to be a Talmud. For one day, I got to be a Talmud. It was so good. And I said, out the whole Shabbos. It was so great. Rebbe just talked. And I would talk just to get him to talk some more. Now Rebbe would talk and I would listen. And he would start talking. I wanted him to talk some more. So I'll throw out some issues, some questions. He'll talk. I didn't mind at all if he wouldn't have to talk at all. He just talked and he talked. Years and years of Chachma and experience and Chachma HaTorah and Chachma HaChaim. I said to myself, oh my gosh, I miss this so much. I never appreciated. When I was a Talmud, I was always thinking about I was going to become a Rebbe. It was so good to be Makabel. But in order to be Makabel, we have to know, we have to realize that there's something to be Makabel. We have to, and that requires a Midah of Anova. Anova, without having Anova, you basically have a Kli that's closed with a lid. Any water you pour in that lid, it all pours out. Anova means there's something for me to gain from this individual. And I'll tell you something. It's so pashut and so clear that there's no one person in the world that we can't find something profound from. There's a certain person I was mashiv a lot. And I really kind of looked up to him and learned from him. And one day I heard the person get angry and say to someone, "You are nothing. You're nothing." And I said, "This person will never be my Rebbe." Because what does it mean the person is nothing? There's no such thing. No such thing as a person. We know that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created is for a reason. There's no such thing as someone or something as a nothing. And it's such an incredible thing. If we, for a second, realize that there's something to be learned and something to be gained from everyone, there's not one individual in this world that we can say, "I can't gain anything from this person." I'll tell you something. There's a little girl in Ramat Beshemesh, passed away a few weeks ago. She was, I think, 11 years old. She was basically in a quasi-vegetative state for years. I mean, she got this horrible disease when she was a year and a half, and basically she didn't do anything. Came out of anything. And her parents are incredible tzaddikim. And they raised her Ramat Beshemesh. They asked davening and extra learning and extra mitzvahs, and people were inspired because of one little girl who couldn't say anything, who couldn't seemingly make any impact at all. Hundreds of thousands of mitzvahs were done. It's an incredible thing. One little girl couldn't do anything. She was able to be mashpia on the whole city. It's an incredible thing. So when a person has anova, we're able to learn from everyone and everything. Do you know how much? You know, chokhmah is like jewels. It's lying around. It's all lying around everywhere. Billions of dollars. You just have to come and pick it up. When a person has a novel, he can pick it up. The Ramban makes an incredible point. He says, you know, in order to learn secrets of the Torah, Sitrei Torah, he has a short little ma'amar on Sitrei Torah. In order to learn Sitrei Torah, there's one need that you have to have, and that's humility. And the reason for that, says the Ramban, is that if you look for a treasure, you'll find it. But if you don't think there's a treasure, you'll never dig for it. In order to find, you have to look. In order to look, you have to believe that it's there. When a person looks at the world as a place of wonder, like a kid in a candy store, every turn has a candy. You're not going to, you know, imagine for a second you're given, you know, 20 minutes in a candy store to take whatever you want. You take every box very seriously. Because this is going to have lollipops, and this is going to have chocolate, and this is going to... You're going to take everything very... Every corner has candy. This world, Rabbi Osai, is a world filled with chokhmah, so much chokhmah. But in order for us to hear it and incorporate it, we have to first realize that it's there, and we have to have that anova to be able to pick it up. So Rabbi Osai, just as a summary, in order for us to be mashpia, and we spoke about the tremendous koch ha'adam to mashpia, we can change the world. But in order to be mashpia, we first have to be makabel. In order for us to be makabel, we have to create that inner silence. And within that inner silence, we find ourselves, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we find everything that we need. We have to actively work in that inner silence. We suggested three different etzas. One is to be alone. Two, to listen carefully to the messages that are being sent to us constantly. And also to develop that humility that's necessary to be able to create that inner silence and to learn from it. Thank you so much, Rosa, for coming, and we'll see you next week.